the Art Briles situation at Baylor was horrible.
Right.
Okay. A lot of the same types of issues as far as Mark D'Antonio gambling on players that he was told not to gamble on, Austin Robertson.
And if people aren't familiar with the Austin Robertson story, you could, one of the, it may have been Detroit News, did a really good long form story on it. History of, you know, abuse
back to high school
in his high school, and
he got expelled from his high school,
and Mark D'Antonio and the staff were warned and they just said whatever.
That was from another Curtis Blackwell deposition, right?
Yes.
Where apparently an assistant coach told D'Antonio, do not take this kid because I don't want him on the same campus as my daughter.
Right.
And he took him. And
he didn't need to. He had a solid foundation in the program, but
that's his MO.
Yeah. It is.
It was what got Art Briles in trouble at Baylor. I'm trying to think of the kid.
And there are other situations too where I forget the kid's name, but before they came to Iowa City, the kid gets out of jail on Thursday. And then Michigan State comes 2 days later and he lets him play. I can't remember that kid's name,
but I'm pretty sure an Iowa coordinator might have brought that up at a certain point, right?
Right.
See, there was no love lost between any coaching staff in the Big Ten and that guy, but especially the one in Iowa City.
Yeah, and I think not that I'm surprised, but when Kirk was asked about it on Wednesday at his press conference, he took the high road.
He always has.
And he shined the light on the positives from a football perspective of what you got when you played Michigan State when Mark D'Antonio was there, which was a really good defense and a hard-fought physical football game. But like I said, his legacy is going to be complicated. I think the people at Michigan State will view him in a different light people outside.
Oh, absolutely.
And that brings you back to, what is the cost of winning?
And that's my question here. How is his legacy so much nationally? He's not talked about necessarily, but I'm keep going back to this comparison, Art Briles. That's what got him in trouble at first at Baylor, because he brought in that kid from Boise State and the kid from Penn State.
Right.
And all these transfers that he was told not to bring in. These are high-risk kids. They have these are not good people that you're bringing into your program and putting on campus and putting everybody else in danger. And
then you wonder from an institutional standpoint, Alex, you know, you're at a university where this stuff's going on with Larry Nassar.
Yep.
What type of oversight is there? Who's in charge? Who's making the calls that this is an institution of higher learning? Or is it just the Wild West and everybody does whatever the heck they want?
Is it the coaches in this case? Because
AD? The president?
The athletic director? I don't know. But the Austin Robertson situation, the one detail I kind of left out is not only did he recruit him, he pushed his academics. I mean, he pushed the school to accept him and bring him on campus as quickly as possible. And within a couple of months,
messy, slimy situation. There's no around. I mean, it's
horrible. You know,
people take shots all the time at the SEC.
Yeah.
This was SEC-like.
Well, and people take shots as I mentioned, people take shots at Jim Harbaugh.
Right.
People take shots at the coaches who are loudmouths, who are constantly putting themselves in the news, but that's low-hanging fruit to me.
And in context, going and staying at somebody's house, yeah, it's a little weird.
It
it's
is.
A little creepy, but it's not the same
no.
as this.
While this is happening behind the scenes, I've asked this. How is the Larry Nassar scandal not being, how has that not been treated the same way that the scandal at Penn State happened? Because it was one's football, one's gymnastics.
Especially
right?
when it came after it, when your eyes were already open to it with the Sandusky case.
Exactly. But one is gymnastics, a low-level sport. One is football. It doesn't matter. It's the same level of disgusting.
And
that can't happen, but it still happened.
And look at the repercussions, Alex. What's it say about the state and what's important in college athletics and higher education, where they went back and basically let Penn State off the hook, reduced the sanctions, gave them the scholarships back. It was a little bit of a, okay, we'll slap you on the wrist.
They
but
have
hey,
no backbone.
That's a cash cow in Penn State. We need that money. We need that money back. Same with the Big Ten, Michigan State. It sours you on. I love college sports. I love college athletics, but it's things like this that really sour me.
And I understand that as far as what you're saying, the theory about, all right, we need this school because they're a cash cow. They make us a lot of money. Then why do they hammer USC so heavily? That's the problem. You think that you have the NCAA figured out. And Miami has the Nevin Shapiro allegations. And Baylor has what we talked about with Art Briles and the sexual assault.
Terrible.
Horrible incidents, one after the other after the other. And Penn State and Michigan State. And UNC with the academic fraud, and they do nothing. They give them a slap on the wrist and say, oh, yeah, you're good.
What's going on with the FBI investigation into college basketball?
Yeah, well, have they come down on Kansas yet?
Yeah.
No, they haven't. But for some reason, USC, Reggie Bush,
yeah,
his family takes some money and moves them to the LA area through a booster. And to the NCAA's knowledge, Pete Carroll didn't know about it. I'm sure he did. But they crushed him. And they haven't recovered since. They limited their scholarship for 4 years. They took away the Heisman from Reggie Bush. They took away the national championship. They took away money. They hammered USC. While Baylor and Penn State and Michigan State and UNC are just sitting there like, oh yeah, we'll recover from this. You gave us a little slap on the wrist. We'll be fine.
And in which direction is this headed? It seems like it's headed in the wrong direction when you look at what SMU did to get the death penalty.
Right.
Back in the 80s, did people have better ethics back then? Were people moral then and not now?
I don't think so.
How much is the money in? And Blackwell's charged D'Antonio with giving players benefits,
yes,
right?
That's part of it, too, that was right? The recent deposition that came out the same day that D'Antonio retired. So
that'll be interesting because that's going to add on to his legacy, how this case shakes out.
Right, and it was literally on the same day that he retired.
Had nothing to do with it. He said it had nothing to do with it.
Well, yes. Okay, I think we all know that he's lying through his teeth. But doesn't that just prove what we just said as far as Blackwell about 2 months ago in a deposition brings up the fact that somebody told D'Antonio not to take Austin Robertson because he didn't want his daughter to be on the same campus. The same Austin Robertson that's now serving a 10-year sentence for sexual assault. He survived that.
Yep.
He didn't flinch at that. 2 months later, it comes out that Curtis Blackwell has said that he paid for a couple of athletes' families to move closer to East Lansing, and he retires within an hour.
Sounds like a Memphis basketball situation,
yeah,
correct?
Yeah, it sounds exactly like that. Because he knows, the NCAA has shown the precedent that they can't deal with the really big issues. They can only deal with this meaningless crap over here. If there's money involved, there's boosters involved, they'll bring the hammer down. They'll act like they care.
And it's interesting that if you look at that Memphis basketball situation, AAU kind of involved there.
Yep.
If the listeners don't know, Curtis Blackwell ran Sound Mind, Sound Body, whatever that is, which is kind of an AAU equivalent of high school football.
Right.
So D'Antonio was willing to get involved in that world to win football games. It's not like he got in bed with, somebody that of high moral standards here. He was looking for an edge and was willing to sell his soul. And I think the Austin Robertson thing is a prime example of that.
He was not going to let any stone be unturned as far as trying to get an edge.
Especially with Harbaugh coming back to Michigan.
Right. And I think there's a direct correlation to when he arrived in the downfall and then James Franklin and
yep.
the uptick of those programs. And Michigan State, like people expected. I remember after that 2015 season, Michigan State's, well, why is everybody talking about Harbaugh and Penn State? Well, because we think you're going to fall back down to the pack. And they did. And it wasn't until then when all this D'Antonio stuff really became a big deal. Or at least a medium-sized deal to where it might threaten his job security, even though he said time and time again, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, I'm coming back, as late as November.
I'm coming back till I get that $4.3 million.
Yeah, and then I'm leaving. Then I'm leaving. We need to take a break. Good discussion here. Hour number one nearly in the books. We need to wrap things up and get you ready for the big hour, and it's going to start with the one and only A.J. Epenesa, a former Iowa defensive end, and most likely a first-round pick come the spring in the NFL draft. That is on the way. Don't go anywhere. More of the Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn after this.